It's time to get rambling with your host of the Ramblin' About Wrestling podcast, Nick Pearl.
It is definitely difficult to stand out in a world where everybody tries to be something they really aren't. We are different. We stand out, especially when it comes to inflicting pain on others. Look at you. You actually made us smile.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Ramblin' About Wrestling podcast. I am your host, Nick Pearl, and today I'm joined by someone who claims they're going to finally bring some class to this program, an LPW and HOG wrestling star, Moon Spider. Moon Spider, how we doing?
Well, considering you decided to hop on the LPW bandwagon by using Billy M. Kidd as your topical choice, kind of anger. We would have preferred if you chose us. Heck, anyone else on the lower totem pole rather than that idiot. But the fact that you chose us means you have spared yourself some violence. So please, do what you can to appease us before we change our minds.
Well, you know what they say. First is the worst, second is the best, I guess. So maybe that, does that appease you a little bit?
Well played. Interesting choice of words, but they're appealing to us right now. So please, do go on.
So you clearly take some offense to stars like Billy M. Kidd, Rat King, certain people like this. I've seen you beating Rat King up a couple of times on your Instagram. Ooh, you're twitching. You don't like that, do you?
We don't like that idiot! That pathetic worm and that excuse for a human being! And the fact that you mention his name when we're talking to you. You're asking us questions. You're interviewing us. And you're mentioning him.
Oof.
You know what? We'll save this rage for the 18th of January. First Strike LPW. We'll save it for that event. And we'll unleash it on Rat King. But for now, continue with your questions. But please, choose your words. Or are you going to end up eating them later?
Why do you take offense to these guys?
Because they're heroes. They're self-proclaimed good guys. People that apparently need to be revered by the public. Giving out false ideals that doing things by the book, being a good person, you're going to be rewarded. No. It's not like that. Life is not like that. This vessel we inhabit right now, our purpose is to destroy them, to kill them if possible, or let the world see them for who they really are. Failures, a false reflection, full of lies, of a life that doesn't exist. Because a life without suffering is not a life worth living.
Who is we? You keep referencing yourself as we. Who, I see one person there.
There's many in here. This is just the vessel we possess. If it isn't for us, this vessel would surely have perished long time ago. If anything, we keep this vessel together. When we found it many years ago, it was just a shell of what once was a hopeful human being. A person that probably believed in the same ways of Rat King and Billy M. Kidd and all these positive do-gooders. But then reality sets in. And that person who lived that life now does not have a life at all. I mean, it wasn't for us finding this vessel. We, nor this vessel would be existing or let alone talking to you right now. Because we are a reflection of all the hate. All the reality that life is, and that is pain, suffering. Some people can call it drama, but in reality, there is no gray, there is no white. There in reality is just all darkness. And this vessel does offer us another chance at our own redemption. But not the redemption people look for in terms of validating whatever things they've done in the past. No. Our redemption is to show the world and show that there are no heroes. There are no quote-unquote false prophets that try to lead people into the land of positivity and all that crap. No, reality is harsh, reality is painful, and reality can be life-altering.
This vessel that you're in, why did you guys need to find each other?
It didn't have any life left. It was left discarded long ago. We were not going to the details of the much drama or the emotional garbage that you people look for. Especially you, you weird interview person. The fact that you go try to pull at the heartstrings, try to get the humanity that we might have. It ain't gonna work. But back on the story, all we are saying is that we found this vessel unattended, destroyed, heartbroken to an extent, laying in a street with tears and blood. We found it. We nurtured it. We brought it back. And in return is this. The harsh reality that the world is not a safe place.
So this is where Moonspider comes from.
Yes, we would say that an amalgamation of things that this vessel once remembered. Past memories, past names, past visions.
So how did you guys find wrestling?
We can definitely see that our past, that vessel, the vessel we house, it was a very something that was very true to their hearts, something that they enjoyed watching in one lifetime in their youth. So we followed it. And we just love tearing, annihilating, and hurting all those useful, youth-filled, lovable, hopeful OPW young lions who think they're wrestlers. They don't know how life is outside that ring. So we're there to show them and let them feel that either way, in and out the ring, life hurts.
And I saw that firsthand at the last LPW show when you were there. I thought I was going to get smacked a couple of times. I'm glad I didn't. The little kid next to me almost did. You said some very interesting things to this kid. We don't need to discuss all that, but he had what he had coming.
The disrespectful youth. Be it a wrestling fan or anyone outside, your neighbor next door, the person across the street, the person at your bodega, everyone in this current generation wants everything handed to them. They think they can become celebrities and stars just because they get a couple of likes on some stupid video or some TikTok trend. That child is one of those pathetic pukes that think just because they want to try and outstage us, that they're going to be a star? That they themselves are better than us? No. They are nothing. And we will prove to you, to them, and that little snot-nosed punk, they are nothing and they are valueless.
It's your job to show the people giving everybody disrespect, disrespect right back.
Yes, good or bad, like I said, there is no gray area. People always talk about some gray area between good and bad. No, there's no gray area and there is no good. The only way you can truly see things how they are is to see it through no eyes at all.
So we talked a lot about the present, we talked a lot about the future, but what about your past?
This vessel does remember a lot. And one of our earliest wrestling memories would be the time we actually got exposed to Japanese pro wrestling, Budoresu, for all you dweebs, weebs out there. We come from a time where something called public access used to endure television programming before you, your internet, and all your fangled technology advances. It was just cable, and maybe if you had regular television, you only had about 5 channels. If you had cable, you at least had 50 channels. And in between that, there was public access. They try to fill television air with whatever. So they would fill it with television, high school, college basketball games. And sometimes it would have recorded roundtable discussions on what's happening on those, on some potholes from some weird neighborhood or block, even like recordings from some public access garbage, like someone's at your school PTA meetings recording that. People would pay money to rent out a television studio and basically host a show. We remember this show called The Canvas Report. This was one of the early days of cable. And we remember the search bar. We remember this vessel having access to the remote control. And in that search bar, they typed wrestling. Because at that time, we didn't know. This vessel did not know that there was other wrestling aside from WWE. So we put wrestling just to see. And we saw various things like MSG had ECW in New York playing at 1:30 in the morning. WCW Worldwide on CBS at 11:30. In Madison Square Garden during the weekends or the weekdays, mostly the weekends, they would have UWF, AWF, American Wrestling Federation, with the round system for some reason. British round system for an American-based company. It worked. Heck, they had Tito Santana as their champion. Certain WWE, WWF at the time, house shows would be shown on MSG Network. And then one time, the vessel put wrestling and saw a show called The Canvas Report. They were sitting around talking about the latest news and rumors about pro wrestling, not just WWE, WWF at the time, but just everything, but also showing matches. And one of the matches that this vessel fondly remembers was Jinsei Shinsaki, also known as Hakushi, versus the Great Muda. We forget the event, but definitely it was a Tokyo Dome show. Now, the match was very short. It was still good, but it was what happened where Great Muda beat the crap out of Jinsei Shinsaki to the point that Muta took a piece of the announcer's table and just started stabbing Jinsei Shinsaki in the head everywhere. So basically it was a great match. It started great. And then it just became a total bloodbath. And in that time, we saw how glorious violence can be, while also showing the beauty of pro wrestling and how great it can be and how Japanese wrestling was different. It gave us various layers. It gave us how amazing the technical abilities were, to how the Japanese styles differs from American style, especially during the time of the WWE where it was new generation era. Now, we will say we are a Mantar lover, but nothing in comparison to Jinsei Shinsaki versus Great Muta. It was beautiful. It is one of our cherished desires, cherished dreams that we keep while hosting this vessel. We never will understand why you people ask for your top 10s or your top 5s, because our list goes beyond. But if you want a small list, we'll mention the names. We would say Muta over Shinsaki. Shinja Hashimoto, he was a very great heavyweight for New Japan at the time. One of the three musketeers. We liked the classics like Riki Choshu because he was the creator of the Scorpion Deathlock. We don't know what to call him. Some call him our sensei, the Amazing Red. This vessel seems to have memories of his youthful past watching matches, especially those early days of TNA. So we do like a variety of everything. We don't choose sides like the pathetic wrestling fans that apparently exist each and every day. Why choose sides when you have a smorgasbord of violence?
So you mentioned Amazing Red being your sensei and someone that you actually really respect.
To be the best, you have to be taught by the best. House of Glory Wrestling was there in an opportune time for this vessel to learn the craft. We took it as a way to continue those lessons. This vessel knew about House of Glory. In that past life, it actually did. Was a student, but sadly not one of the best, not very bright. They held too much of their passion in their sleeves. We have given it purpose and it has drive. If you want to be a better person, a better wrestler, a better version of yourself, body, mind, and even spirit, you have to be taught by the best. And our visions of our past, as shattered as they may be, the Amazing Red was always a constant. So we seeked it out. We seeked him out. What he taught us has done us well. It's been slightly altered, yes, in bringing pain and punishment and complete carnage upon our opponent.
When did your vessel start training with Red?
It was about pretty much after this whole pandemic thing that caused a headache. At least this vessel at the time was at its wit's end and decided to finally take a chance on themselves, to finally bet on themselves, to finally see if they were worthy to even be in the square circle. Again, sadly, this vessel, its coil in the living world was cut short, but we continued and we are continuing that dream. And we enjoy it, especially when it comes to inflicting pain on others.
In training, looking through your Instagram page and everything that you've got, I was looking through some of your moveset, noticed it, like when I was making your little trailer that I hope you liked, by the way. Did I satisfy the both of you?
It amused us, yes. Hence why you're still breathing.
It's a good thing. I can take my deep breath still. You got a very wide variety of moves that you have in your moveset. I noticed specifically the spine buster that you do.
Yes. We forgot to add Arn Anderson into our little list of popular wrestlers. Yes, we are a fan of that.
I knew he was there.
it's quite obvious. Look at you. You actually made a smile. For that, you get to live another day.
So you had that spine buster. You have your twisting. It's like a twisting neck breaker kind of thing you do off the rope. Taking all of your moves from a bunch of your favorites and really bringing them into your own.
We do love this love that we seem to be getting. So please, do go on.
There's nobody else out there that's quite like you. With the look that you got, with the way you carry yourself out to the ring. The first time I saw you, I was with my brother, and you came out, and we weren't really sure what we were about to see, to be honest. And then we saw the match, and we said, you know what? We like this. This is something different. This is something you don't usually see, and you're taking a bunch of different moves from wrestlers, aspects from other wrestlers, the face paint that you have. I mean, I got my Sting t-shirt on. This is the closest that I had to what you got. You're someone that should be getting more recognition than you actually get, at least in my eyes.
Consider us flattered. We thank you for that. It is definitely difficult to stand out in a world where everybody tries to be something they really aren't. This you call makeup? No, my friend. Our friend.
I'm your friend. I'll take it.
We'll allow that. But never call this makeup. This is our warrior's visage. This is our true face. This is who we are. We are different. We stand out. We have a purpose. There'll be many bodies laid below our feet.
So looking at your Instagram bio and through my research, I've found that you also have a video game music podcast and a YouTube that covers cartoons.
Yes. Starting first would be the Retro VGM Revival Hour. It's interesting we call it that when the podcast itself is almost over 3 to 5 to 6 hours long. Although there are many podcasts about video game music, it's mostly people talking about a specific track and maybe just the composer and all that. We decided to make one that just features the music. It's basically a Spotify playlist, but covering a specific composer, a genre, or maybe whatever the event is. We consider video game music to be music. And the fact that from the early stages of this vessel's lifespan playing the Nintendo, especially games like DuckTales, Mega Man, the early Metal Gear series, Ninja Turtles, the thing that always stood out aside from playing those games was the music, was the great the compositions, especially when you realize that a lot of them did so much with so little, especially compared to how, you know, megabytes and terabytes and memory and all that crap from today's games. And we decided to do something about that by showcasing the actual music. What started as an hour-long podcast became, like I said, we! Forgive us. We sometimes have arguments. We like to showcase these composers, these talented individuals who may not get attention, or even a certain genre that doesn't get attention. Although, yes, they have things like the Game Awards, although as crappy and hideous as that may be run, and various other podcasts and playlists. We like to do something different. And when that is, we about a minute worth of information up front and then go straight to the music. No hesitation. All music, constant playing. As long as whatever the subject line is, it'll cover over an hour worth of music. It'll just be music with the equivalent being maybe 3 minutes of actual dialogue of us talking. Everything else is just music, straight music. Because we believe that's an art form that still, to this day, needs as much exposure and love as possible.
I agree with you on that. I mean, I'm a huge fan of video game music. I mean, I'm more of a Nintendo kind of guy, so all the Mario Galaxy music, it brings me chills. You ever go to video games live?
We don't, but we do have a friend who is a composer for video game music, the New Jersey Gamer Symphony Orchestra. She's a composer for that group. Her name is Alyssa Menez. She's actually done video game music for various indie games, mobile games, and even has done music for Just Cause 4. They do shows, mostly in New Jersey. Again, they're the New Jersey Game Symphony Orchestra. And we have gone to a few shows, not a lot, but we pretty much, to answer your question, we've gone to versions of video games live without, you know, being video games live.
Gotcha. It's something I just went to. One of my friends got for me and my other friend's birthday. We went to a candlelight show where they had like a quartet on the stage and they played a bunch of video game music. I think that's something you'd appreciate. That it was such a cool experience. Just all the lights are off. You're not allowed on your phones, except for the last song. You're allowed to take it out and record if you want. But it's just, you got to sit there in the moment, like an hour and a half, and you're just there for the vibes. Really, really awesome experience.
It's interesting. We have seen things play at lobbies at various comic conventions, if that counts. Aside from that, we do enjoy certain live music. It would be fun. We'll take it into consideration, this advice of yours.
You also have a YouTube channel that covers cartoons.
Yes, we do. The channel is called The Nostalgia Road Trip. This vessel houses a lot of things. A lot of things some people would say is random, useless information, be it cartoons, television theme songs of the 90s, sitcoms. We have a lot of that floating around here. So, in order for us to at least let some of it out, or just let people know that they exist, we created this channel called the Nostalgia Road Trip Channel that occasionally does cartoon retrospectives, as well as house music videos of video games that we like, as well as cartoon theme songs, or even marathons based on specific holidays using sitcoms of the 80s and 90s, as well as cartoons. We just talked about public access television and wrestling shows. So this vessel seems to be quite aged and old. But we appreciate things like that because if you ignore the past, you can repeat it, but there's also things you can learn from it. It's still quite entertaining, especially compared to whatever garbage passes as entertainment for you young boys and girls and youngins and all you other idiots.
What's funny is there's a customer. I work at a pharmacy, and there's this customer that comes in. He's big into old cartoons and old films and stuff. And I went to film school. I'll never tell him that I went to film school because then he'll never stop talking to me. But I know he's one of those. But he'll some every once in a while bring in an old cartoon for me, like 80s comedy sketches, and I'll sit there and I'll watch them. I just find it all really interesting. And to have someone like you that's trying to bring more exposure to all these older cartoons for the newer generation, it's something I wish more people would be able to do because people need to appreciate it, or else it's just going to be lost, in the times.
One of the things we like to mention a lot is that a lot of people will like to say that, hey, cartoons back then were great. We don't like this anime stuff. We don't like this other foreign cartoons or whatever. But a little bit of information for all you people who apparently hate anime, a good chunk of 80s cartoons you loved, they were outsourced to Japanese studios. So technically, Inspector Gadget, Thundercats, Heathcliff, and all your th Silverhawks, all your cartoons, may not He-Man, not Filmation, but a good chunk of your other favorite cartoons of the 80s are technically anime because they were outsourced to Japan or even Korean studios. So when someone says, oh, cartoons were great back then, da-da-da-da-da. Hey, guess what? If you just Google it, you find out that, hey, it has probably more in connection to Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z, Clutch Cargo. Again, that's an old cartoon you probably don't even know of.
No, but I'll put a picture up for the viewers that are watching the video version of the podcast.
Quite. And there are various cartoons even to this day that people don't even know. One of our favorite cartoons is called Inhumanoids. We did a retrospective on it on our channel, but basically, it's a cartoon that introduced the horror genre to a Saturday morning cartoon. So it uses zombies, it mentions death, it even has creatures. There are based on Cthulhu and old stories like that. And it's kiddified, but the fact that there is an episode where a creature eats another creature's arm and spits it out and vomits, it's quite interesting. And again, there's other cartoons that people don't even know that existed within the area. Again, there's what is Spiral Zone. Yeah, that's a knockoff of G.I. Joe. But that was still good. You know, people still know of Centurions. People still know of early days of Boomerang before Boomerang and Cartoon Network have become a joke these days. Even the old 1960s Marvel cartoons that basically just took cutouts of the comics and just animated them. Surprisingly, we had that available in our on our channel. Surprisingly, the mouse has not been able to sue us, but thanks for that, because no matter how much of a strong wrestler we can be, the mouse is superior above all. Even we won't mess with the mouse.
I miss the old what when I used to watch when Boomerang was still good. I used to watch Wacky Races. I used to like Penelope Pit Stop. Those are like newer ones. I like cartoons.
No, that's 70s.
70s. Well, I
Those are
used to like
70s.
all those.
Catch That Pigeon.
I loved that.
All those cartoons, the Groovy Ghoulies and things like that. No, that's 70s, so that's still old compared to. Okay, you say they're not that old, but put it under 2025 eyes, and those are basically 40 to 50 years ago. So technically, even if you didn't consider them old, they're old now. So it counts.
I guess you're right. But those, I wish more people watched those because that was most of my childhood was just watching all those old cartoons, surprisingly.
Surprisingly, yes. But again, people's attention spans and whatever this ungrateful new generation of people. And I have to say, we have to say, you're amusing us. So you're treading lightly. We're enjoying what you have to say. So you're okay for now.
Thank
We're
you.
giving you that clean slate, interview person. But for everybody else who is ungrateful and demands everything to be handed to them, that type of crowd is the reason maybe those cartoons aren't very well known or even exposed as much.
So we talked a lot, we rambled a lot. When's the next time the anybody watching or listening can see you wrestle in the ring?
January 18th, Queens, New York, NYC Arena, LPW First Strike is when you can see us bring total carnage to those attending, but more importantly, to that one individual that we have our sights set on, Robert Radking. It's not over between you and us. If anything, we're just gonna be able to do a lot more now. Now that Shahmir De Niro, now that Billy M. Kidd are out of the picture, it's just you and us. The people who come, the people who show up, the people who are buying a ticket to the event are gonna witness beautiful carnage. So we suggest you buy yourself a ticket. Buy multiple on January the 18th, NYC Arena, Queens, New York. LPW First Strike will be bringing the carnage by way of Moonspider. Rat King, your days are numbered and your time on Earth is within an end.
So as we bring this episode of the podcast to a close, a little on a very very high tension note, Moonspider, what are some of your social medias for the podcast, for your YouTube, for your Instagram? Where can everybody find you at?
Well, you can follow us at Moonspider Hugs, which is our Twitter X handle. Lord knows why they keep changing the names of that place. But Moonspider Hugs basically everywhere. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. We are on Blue Sky. We are on Threads. Just look up Moonspider Hugs. It ain't that hard. On YouTube, it would be the Nostalgia Road Trip channel. And on our video game podcast is the Retro VGM Revival Hour, and you can find that on any anywhere you get your podcast at. You can also follow our company, House of Glory Wrestling and LPW Legacy Pro Wrestling.
I highly recommend that once you're done with the Ramblin' About Wrestling podcast, search up for Moon Spiders too. I definitely think that you will be entertained and you'll appreciate what they're bringing to the table. So with that, I've been your host, Nick Pearl. This has been Moon Spider, and I'll catch you all on the next one. Let's keep rambling, everybody.